Welcome everyone to this event. Thank you all for taking your busy time from your schedule to join us today. My special thanks to our discussants, Professor Carlos Braga, Ambassador Miriam Saleh, and Councillor Caroline McCarthy for agreeing to join us to join our panel. I remember when the editors were putting together this book to me, I told them that you may have to change your title because nobody knows what domestic regulation in services trade is about and what kind of principles which should be put into practice. If you don't change the title, you won't sell many of your books. And they nodded very seriously. I thought they accepted my suggestion. But today you see they kept their title. But to my surprise, when I came here, I couldn't believe my eyes that there are so many people present today. That shows my understanding was wrong. The impact of domestic regulation on services trade is a very complex subject and which also has been relatively underexplored. I would therefore like to congratulate all the authors for their efforts to bring in the challenges faced by regulators and negotiators to our attention. In my view, it will be a valuable contribution to the efforts of WTO members to negotiate a set of domestic regulation disciplines to ensure that they support and do not undermine GATT's market access commitments. The authors will be providing you with a detailed presentation on these issues. But let me instead reflect on why I'm thinking this publication is timely. Over the last three decades, we have seen a transformation in the role of governments from that of primary or even sole supplier of infrastructural or essential services to being that of a supervisor or regulator of competitive markets. As more space has been opened up for private sector participation, now domestic services markets have also been liberalized to international competition. With market access entry barriers coming down, regulatory issues are becoming more prominent. There are many good reasons why services markets need regulation. Among others, protecting consumers, tackling fraud, or ensuring that making services are available to all citizens on equitable conditions. At the same time, cumbersome licensing and qualification procedures, non-transparent criteria, burdensome and redundant requirements, and the administrative red tape can impede trade, even if this was not their intention. Diverse regulatory system and standards can also raise the cost of compliance for the services supplier. Regulatory issues become increasingly prominent with the growth of global value chains in both goods and services as suppliers are linked across many markets. The book discusses both the impact of domestic regulation on services trade as well as how good regulatory practices and WTO legal principles could help address these issues. To what extent can and should domestic regulation be disciplined under a trade agreement, and how to distinguish protectionism from the pursuit of legitimate public policy objectives? There are no obvious answers. Yet, services trade agreements in the 21st century will increasingly have to grapple with regulatory issues. Some of these concerns are addressed in the GATT Article 6.4, negotiations on licensing and qualification requirements and procedures and technical standards. Others relate to current concerns and needs resulting from new services and business models. By examining regulatory practices in services trade and the role of WTO legal principles, the book contributes to a better understanding of the sensitive and sometimes complex interplay between the push for liberalization and the demands for domestic regulation. So again, it needs a right balance. Now let me thank you all again for being here. Congratulations to the editors, authors, and everyone involved in this publication and launch. I wish you every success. I thank you again very much.